was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Friday.
Friday.
Thank goodness. October 17th.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, honey.
Well, good. Phone lines here are. So I just interrupted you.
4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. What kind of coffee are you drinking there?
No, I'm just like, it's Friday. We're here. I have our new KCNR shirts on.
We have KCNR shirts that say KCNR, and they're very, very nice shirts.
And they have racing stripes on it, which, then, you know, we have a lot of announcements to make, you know, like the Speedway is going on this weekend, and we have Chihuahua puppies out in front, and that's probably why I'm all wired up.
If you want a KCNR shirt, we could probably make a deal on that. If you like, or a KCNR baseball cap.
Mm.
Ooh, Savannah's going, I want that. Yes, but you can't, you know, if you get arrested, you can't wear it.
No. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Right.
If you're seen in riots, you know, please turn the hat backwards and the shirt inside out.
Okay, Savannah? I will. I promise.
Savannah, have you ever been in trouble in your life? Have you ever gotten, a parking ticket?
Yes.
You.
I feel like I don't have very much grace when it comes to tickets.
You have much grace when it comes to
no,
tickets.
No, I've had some silly tickets.
Okay. But if that's all you know what? That's probably the only thing in your life that you've transgressed. Transgression of tickets.
Pretty much.
I love that. I love you. Hey.
Transgression of tickets. I love it. It's almost like a prayer, like you got to go and, you know, the saint of tickets or something.
What's the weather look like there, sweetie?
Well, we're 55 degrees right now in the downtown studios. If you're just tuning in, good morning. Chance of rain today. Temperatures around 66. Chance of showers tonight. Lows at 55. Now our weekend goes into mostly sunny, which is great because we've got the races beginning out at the Speedway. We'll tell you about that in a little bit. It looks like it's going to be around 75. That's the kind of temperature you like if you're going to be outside. Mostly clear on Saturday night, and our Sunday's highs look like you're around 73. And on Sunday night, we get around 20% chance of rain with temperatures around 55. And the weather, each and every time we do it, is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. They're locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call for any of your needs when it comes to your gas or filters or just like anything that you need. 365-3793.
Okay. Baseball.
Oh, my God.
Last night.
I have a voice?
You know what? Linda is – I don't watch baseball. I've never – you know, I just don't. It's been probably 30 years since I watched a full game. Until 2 years ago or whenever it was when the Giants got into the World Series. The last two games of the playoffs and the Giants got in the World Series. Linda and I watched it mainly because Linda wanted to watch it.
Every day last year.
Or the year before last when they won.
Oh, okay.
And so then this year, they're playing in the series against the Cardinals, and the winners are going to go to play Kansas City. Well, last night they get behind, and the young man comes up and pinch hits a home run, which ties the game. And then in the bottom of the ninth, the Giants get men on first and second. And a young man named Hayakawa, something like that. Hayakawa.
Is that right, Bob?
It's Hayakawa.
Ishikawa
comes in. He had already run score for the Cardinals by getting turned around in the outfield and missing the catch. So he comes up, bottom of the ninth, two on. The pitcher is one of the best pitchers in the league. Throws one in there and he nails it for a home run. Bottom of the ninth, two men on. He hits a home run. I mean, and at this point, you see men who are making millions of dollars a year become kids.
Let's talk about the backstory with this guy, though. We'll do a little bit more research because, you know, in the broadcast last night, we were
No. I'm just.
Okay.
I'm giving Savannah directions.
Oh, okay.
There.
So in the broadcast last night, we hear about the fact that he had been
sent back to the minors.
Right.
Most of his career has been in.
Called a friend, really at that crux point in your life when you think, I can't do this anymore. I just cannot do this anymore. I don't know what to do. And then here he is in his moment where he hits a home run to bring the Giants into the World Series.
Wow.
So I said to Carl last night, I said, no matter whatever happens in his life, he had his victory moment, you know, in that moment. Yeah. And then we will listen to everybody being interviewed afterwards. And for us, you know, I think with everything that's happening with, you know, Ebola and government and right now with the politicians and the elections, just to go watch baseball and to see baseball, it comes back down to it's a kind of an easy game to understand. It's still old fashioned. It still has the passion, and it's really nice to see these guys jump up and down as
they
if they
jump
were
up
10.
And down like they were little kids.
Like,
and,
you know
what? And these guys
let
are,
it all go.
In their 20s, 30s. And the coaches are out jumping up and down. I mean, they got their arms around each other, jumping up and down like a high school, like a little league.
How can we even think?
It was great.
How can we even think when we've got two baby chihuahuas and their mother inside a little baby bag that our Haven Humane Captain Smith just brought in? I can't even think.
One was chewing on the head of the other one, but not chewing hard. Anyway, then Mama gets into this. You can put all three of them in something about the size of a teacup. No, they're not that little.
They're so damn cute. How old are the little puppies?
The little puppies are about 4 weeks old, so they still got a little time to stay with Mama. So what we really are asking is, Mama's ready for adoption. She can be adopted anytime. However, she comes with a package deal. So you'd foster these two kids with her until they're ready to go on their own, which would be a couple of weeks. And she is a great mama and very well behaved in our house. She's housebroken. She jumps up. She just jumped right up in my lap. She's just the best, calmest dog, but she is very protective and caring of her kids. So they're not quite ready yet. They're ready to start eating, and they're still nursing a little, but they're on their way.
They're
to
adorable,
doing their
and
thing.
She's got freckles on her nose.
Yes,
she
yes.
has freckles. She's brown and white, but it looks like she has freckles on her nose. And very quiet. And these two little puppies are here. One was chewing on the head of the other, and just ignoring them. Look at them. Look at these.
We're naming them Tag. We've named them Tag and Tyke right now. And Tawny is their mom. And you know, like I said, we don't normally bring little babies, but I've got them protected, and we just want to get people to know that these guys need foster care for a little bit, and we want to get them out and get them into some homes.
Oh, they are so okay. Well, let's talk about Haven Humane.
Okay,
these guys are ready to go up for adoption. I mean, the mother.
Yes.
Okay. What's happening with Haven Humane right now?
Right now, we're doing pretty good. We've had some little issues with some cat problems, some cat viruses going on, but we got that under control, and we're ready to start taking some kitties in again. This is what we call our kind of slow time, if you want to call it that. It's really not our slow time because the dogs and cats are still coming in like crazy, but we don't have nearly as many of them as we have. And so we're doing really, really well. We're happy to have these little guys with us. And we have this happen all the time where they come in with their mom and we just need a little extra care for them. So it's called the Foster to Adopt program, which says they're too young to actually be adopted legally. Mm-hmm. But if you can take care of them till they are old enough, then you can go ahead and adopt them. So you foster them till that time comes up.
They're truly just cute little puppies.
She's a good mommy.
And she's very alert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's actually been an awesome mom, but she's so aware of what they're doing, and so she's doing all the work. So you don't really have to do much; you just kind of have to give her a nice, warm place to stay. Mm-hmm. She has to stay inside, obviously, not be outside till they're big enough to get on her own. And look at her. She's cleaning them up.
What are the sexes of the puppies? Nibbling and loving on them. What are the sexes of the puppies?
They're both little boys. And they're just, they're play. Their little tails wag. They're just happy-go-lucky, fat, and sassy. just ready to get out there and have a life. You know.
Give one to Savannah and one to her roommate.
That's what we said.
Oh, I'd love to take
you. You know what? It's Savannah every Friday. She just looks at her and she just gets this look on her face like, I want one.
I think it'd be cool to just adopt the family.
Maybe not the guinea
pigs.
That's what we would love to have the family.
That's would be, I mean, she just would love to have them with her. She's just that good.
Okay. How can we get a hold of you?
Just give us a call at 241-1653. They'll be down at the shelter after I get done. And please come and take a look at them and see if you can make them happy and have their happy little family together. We'd love to have them.
Oh, you know what? This is just great. You can get a threefer.
Thank you, Captain Smith. You're welcome. I know you miss Spencer. He'll be back next week. He took a little vacation day.
We love having Haven Humane on.
And let's get these wonderful animals adopted out. And the two puppies can be fostered.
Yes.
Along with the mother.
Yes.
But I'm sure once you get the three, you'll say, why not? They're not going to be big dogs.
That's right. They're going to be little guys.
Little guys. Cute.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Okay. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you, guys. Hi, my name's Brent Weaver. I promise to fight to keep our neighborhood safe and strong. Vote for me, Brent Weaver. Together, we will take back our city, streets, parks, and neighborhoods.
Paid for by Weaver for City Council 2014.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Proof that kindness is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
Hello, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I'm prepared to make Reading the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Reading, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
Hi, my name's Brent Weaver. I've spent the last year walking through neighborhoods and learning about the issues Reading residents care most about. I promise to fight to keep our neighborhood safe and strong.
Paid for by Weaver for City Council 2014.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 7:20 in the morning. We're a little behind schedule here, 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Yes, we do have a schedule. 55 degrees out there, and it looks like I think probably the heat has broken. But one thing that hasn't broken is our Sleep Number bed. We still sleep great in that.
Yes, we do. What was your number last night?
My Sleep Number setting went up to 45. I think I'm working my way up.
I think we're kind of even. It's really weird because we started off, our numbers were completely like 20 degrees apart. And now we're kind of even. But the cool thing is with the dual temp is that, you know, again, we may be working out or extremely tired or come back and from the end of the day and maybe want something that's less hard. And you can do that with your Sleep Number.
That's right. And with the new Sleep IQ, it empowers you to make changes. You know, you can adjust your Sleep Number setting. When you get, you know, it senses how you're moving and will give you ideas on maybe you sleep with a different setting. And if you look at Sleep Number, it's rated number one by Consumer Reports. It's made in America. It's got guarantees. And right now, when you go to a Sleep Number store with the Sleep IQ technology, starts at just $999.98. So head on down to the Target Shopping Center. Go down and see Brian and Janice at the Sleep Number store. You'll never be sorry that you did. Tell them that Carl and Linda sent you. Okay.
Heck yeah.
All right. Now, tonight starts the 9th Annual Silent Film Festival. And we have an all-festival pass for both we have Friday and Saturday. It's good for either day. And these are $25 tickets for the Silent Film Festival.
This is
Shasta County Arts Council puts this on. And this is just outstanding, the things they do with, you know, locals and old and ones from before, celebrating 100 years of Charlie Chaplin's The Tramp. So if you want a couple of these tickets, $25 a piece for free, and right down here at the Shasta County Arts Council, so it's easy to get to, just give us a call at 605-4567, 605-4567. All right, Brent Weaver, back in the news. He has amended his financial disclosure here. And there's a financial report back to the state, and he's attached the names of all the donors who participated in the golf tournament that he held. It was a fundraiser, and it's going to be filed at the city clerk's office. As you know, Red Smith from the Shasta Lantern wrote something and said, hey, look, he was supposed to do this, and why didn't you do it? Did you not want people to know who your donors were? And Weaver answered, he says, I don't care. Who knows? In fact, I'll publish them on my website, which he did. He addressed it on our show about that. So now it's amended and with all the names. I don't know if this will put this issue to rest. I have a feeling that it won't. It still hasn't been addressed by the Fair Practices Committee there. It takes them a few weeks to do it. And Weaver says, hey, I want to do it. Get it out of the way. And just I don't want it to be hanging on. Let's just do this, whether we had to or not. Here, I'm just going to do it. So if you want to see the names of all the donors who went to the Brent Weaver golf tournament, you can see them. They're on his website anyway. All right. And by the way, Patrick Jones says, hey, you know what? This what has happened is really relatively minor. It's what he believes and what he wants to do is an important thing when it comes to running for office. So there. Now, the illegal camps that we have around our town here, there's so many of them. In fact, it's a subculture, and you can't, you know. And how big a subculture is this? Well, they've got a new program. They've got a new model plan that Chief Rob Paletti is showcasing, and he's unveiled. And it started on October 1st when they went to the Masonic Lodge area, the area behind the Masonic Lodge, and they gave out notices that we're going to come back and clean these camps out. 25 of them down there, and it's not just you think, oh, it's just a camp, you know, maybe they got a little fire going there. Electric generators, electric lines running between tents. I mean, it's like a little subculture city down there. And the owner of the land says, look, I've tried to get them out. I need help. I've asked, but I couldn't get it. But now we are, and he's really excited about it. But you're talking 25 camps on the acreage there, and this is just one group of them. So they're going to go clean that up, and at the same time, they've got to be able to keep them from moving back in. I think that's where the owner needs to put security out there or have something going on where he can actually have something to say. Because once you move these illegal camps or little illegal towns off, you've got to keep them off. So then they can go to the next one, and the next one's up on, I think, off of Lake Boulevard. There's several of these. When you when when you get to them, they are a substrata of the city here.
A lot of dogs in those camps too. I see people walking around with the dogs. And hey, what you want me to talk to you about? You want me to share with you five things you must know on Friday?
Okay.
And then you can pick out if you'd like me to open those up. Number one, Apple starts pre-orders for new iPad.
No.
Number two, final arguments before Oscar Pistorius sentencing.
Nah.
Okay.
He shot the girl. He got off with that one.
Number three, FAA heads to Congress to prevent further incidents following September fire.
I have no idea what that is.
In the weeks following the fire in the air traffic control facility on September 26th that knocked out 5,000 flights, the Federal Aviation Administration determined to prevent any other incidences.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Number four. Okay, something is happening. It's going to affect a lot of people. Hurricane Gonzalo could hit Bermuda with gusts of wind and rain, packing up to winds of 145 miles per hour.
Okay, no, I don't live in Bermuda. When it gets close to here, let me know.
Okay, let's talk about this then. This is hitting everybody. Ebola nurse Nina Pham releases video from hospital, and in the news today, one of the nurses that has been, what do you want to say,
she's
exposed, is on a cruise.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Another one that's been exposed to the, even though she didn't work directly with the patient himself, she took care of the, she took care of the specimen bottles. Okay, so she's on a cruise right now. All right, here are some of the things I'm hearing is that, and we, the Republicans, I say we, I say the, I'm thinking two or three things here. The Republicans have said, okay, let's just put a quarantine on the flights going to West Africa. And the Obama administration doesn't want to do that. And they're saying, well, that would keep medical workers from going there. And according to Charles Krauthammer, and I agree with him, no, it doesn't. You put a ban on those flights, and if they're medical workers, you put them on the military flights that are heading on over there. And you get to know, you know who they are. You can kind of keep your eye on them. Then when they come back, you keep them under, under observation for the, whatever the 120 days is or 45 days, when they come back. So should we, you know, with the way that we can move people so quickly through the air, and coming out of West Africa where they're having more and more cases of Ebola. The other thing is you need to fight Ebola at its site. We've only got three cases here, and look what's happening. What happens if we have 20 cases, 25 cases, 40 cases? Ebola is in West Africa. If you go and address it there, can you hold it there? Can you fight it there? And you put a lot of your assets there, the World Health Organization, not the United States, but World Health Organization and I are part of it, and fight it there instead of trying to fight it. I mean, if you would fight a terrorism threat in Iraq and in Iran and in Afghanistan, why not fight an attack of a virus like this in its home ground? And it's going to be a tougher fight. The other thing, too, is and what we saw was the woman that was allowed to fly and asked permission and was given permission and then had a higher temperature and was still allowed to fly is, you know, and now Frontier Airlines, I think it's Frontier, is trying to get a hold of everybody to tell them you flew next to the, you know, you flew on a plane with somebody that has Ebola. The it doesn't seem like there's a real plan on how to do this. The people that are in charge of this now, you're not trusting because they're saying, oh, no, we have this and we have this. Well, it's not true. Okay, we've got this under control. This guy's here. We've got all the procedures, all the protocols. Wrong, because we've had two nurses obviously contract a disease. And so those aren't working. We need to say that. We also need to say, is this the only place they can be treated? I mean, if you had a case right here in Shasta County at either one of our hospitals, do we have the facilities, the labs, the equipment, and the protocols in place to take care of it? I mean, I know how good our doctors are, and we talked to one of the emergency rooms guys, and he said, yeah, we've discussed it, we've done this. But do they have enough to do that? It's one of those questions that if somebody has it, shouldn't we automatically just put them onto a plane and take them to a place that they need to be, that they can be treated at and be treated at, correctly? I think we do. We're going to take a quick break. We got Senator Ted Gaines on the phone. We'll get right back to the senator right after these messages.
I'm Francie Sullivan, Vice Mayor of the City of Reading. I have deep roots in this area. I was born and raised in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana, but I've had family here since before Lassen erupted. My husband is retired and we could live anywhere. We choose to live in Reading. We love living in a friendly, generous town. We're grateful for the parks and trails that help keep us healthy. And we're grateful to live in a community that knows how to come together to solve problems. Together, we'll make Reading a safer town. I want to invite you, the public, to become part of the process, made up of all of you, the City Council, and city employees, to make Reading thrive and be the best place to live, work, and raise a family. With safe neighborhoods and quality jobs, I'm Francie Sullivan. I'd appreciate your vote on November 4th for the Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, candidate for Reading City Council. Our city faces many issues. For instance, we need to unravel the crime problem we're all experiencing. This is not something we created. The state has released thousands of felons onto the streets of communities like ours. Burglaries and assaults are up, there are not enough police, and the jail is full. Some people are saying, let's raise the sales tax. That's not necessary at this time. There are viable options to hire more police now using money the city has in its coffers. Let's work with what we have before raising your taxes. Look, nobody has all the answers. I believe the people of Reading need a fresh, new voice on the City Council, someone who understands how to negotiate and is willing to work with the other council members to move this city forward in a positive direction.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Michael DeQuisto to Reading City Council 2014.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBott. Good morning. It is 7:33 in the morning on the 17th of Friday, of course. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. 55 degrees out there today. Weather's brought to you by Northern. By Shasta Gas Propane.
Yeah, Shasta.
It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer, okay? Senator Ted Gaines is on the line. Good morning, Senator.
Hi, how are you, Carl?
We're fine. You know, I'm here with your classmate from Rio Americana.
Good morning, Ted. How are you?
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Great. Thanks for being on the show this morning. What's happening in your life?
Oh, gosh. I've just been very busy running for insurance commissioner and busy moving up and down the state and meeting with editorial boards. And I did get the San Diego Union Tribune endorsement a little over a week ago, and very excited about that. And continuing to challenge Covered California with what appears to be no-bid contracts now. Up to $180 million for marketing purposes, and it appears to be going to the cronies of Peter Lee, who's the director of Covered California. So there's a lot on our plates here as Californians in terms of how bureaucracy is taking over and creating real problems for the consumers of medical insurance in California.
Oh, yeah, here. We have doctors in our family, and they're really in upheaval over some of these laws that we need to really pay attention to how they're written. I think they're very cleverly written if voting yes means really no and voting no really means yes. So you have to get very clear on the intention behind measures. Senator Ted Gaines is our guest right now. We are live with Senator. So you've been a senator. Now you're running for, the insurance guy for the state.
Yes.
And why are you – why? Let's just hear why.
Great. Thank you. It's because it's my background, and I feel that Republicans need to be stepping up. We need people representing statewide offices to have an impact in California. My background is as an independent insurance agent and broker. I consider myself the ultimate consumer advocate because I act on behalf of my clients, trying to find the right company that suits their needs at the right price. And if I don't do that, I know that that goes to 100 competitors that I have down the street. And I feel like we need someone that understands the insurance business, not an attorney who has worked in government throughout his entire career. We need someone that understands what it's like to fight against insurance companies, to make sure that we're looking out for the interests of consumers. But at the same time, we want to invite more competition within the marketplace. And I think that the current insurance commissioner is suppressing a broadened marketplace. He's actually creating scarcity in parts of the market, for instance, in homeowners. It's been very difficult for homeowners, especially in more rural areas, to get coverage, and that's because some of the insurance companies we have in California here have moratoriums. And so I'm going to fight to make sure we broaden the marketplace so we have more competition so we can provide new innovative products to consumers and have more price competition to keep prices competitive.
Hey, Senator, there's a proposition on the ballot addressing insurance. Is this correct?
Yes.
And
Prop
45? Right, Prop 45. Now, here's my problems with this one, besides the just general problems I have anyway with Sacramento. This one is put on the way, and it gives the insurance commissioner a tremendous amount of power. And the other thing is that the people that were backing this, it put a lot of money into the insurance commissioner's coffers, didn't they?
That's correct. Yes, thank you. Prop 45, I'm in opposition to it. I don't think we need to give the insurance commissioner more power. That is the last thing that we need to be doing for medical the medical industry. Right now, we've got enough challenges on our plate. The Affordable Care Act is creating a lot of uncertainty and havoc across the state. We don't need a politician dictating what our rates should be for health care. That ought to be determined within the marketplace. And if anything, what we ought to be doing is looking at how can we empower the consumer so that they have more information and making choices that help drive costs down. So we ought to be providing information on the quality of doctors and on the cost of care so that you can look up and find data as to where you might be able to get the best MRI in town, the best quality at the best price. And until we do that, I think you're going to continue to have challenges with the cost of health care in California. The consumer has to be engaged in making that decision, just like they would do if they went to the grocery store. They see the pricing on what they're buying. They determine what kind of quality of product they want to buy. But imagine going to the grocery store, not knowing what the price of anything is, and then figuring out what your total cost is going to be when you leave. And that's
and then somebody adds, and then somebody says, and somebody says, I'm sorry, you can't have that can of peas. That's not on our little plan there.
Right.
You've got to have this can of peas. And, oh, wait a minute, there's no salt added. I'm sorry, okay, no peas for you. You know, this whole thing is such that, you know, being written by this group that gets money from them, this part about when I saw that, that how millions of dollars worth of contracts, maybe even hundreds of millions, were given on a no-bid basis to cronies, and yet nothing's –
right.
Why isn't anything being said about this, Senator?
Well, I've sent a letter to Peter Lee, the director of Covered California. He implements the Affordable Care Act.
But he's the one that's doing it.
Board. And they have just – I challenged them earlier. In fact, I sued Covered California because they are projecting a deficit next year and the year after that. And we're going to be left holding the bag as taxpayers. And I want transparency. I think we should be demanding transparency so that we know – how much it's costing to implement Covered California. They talk about what a great job it's done. Well, it's not so great. If you had a marketing budget of $200 million, you could talk about how great you were, but let's look transparently at how they're really operating. And when I saw them spend $1.37 million on having a exercise guru who was 65 years old, communicating with millennials, that sounds like a waste of taxpayer money.
How much?
$300,000?
$300,000?
That litigation is going on. Covered California tried to change the venue. They lost that in court, and we're going to continue to hammer on that litigation. But more recently, we had these no-bid contracts going out to cronies of Peter Lee in the millions of dollars. That is, in my bid, or in my mind, not right. These are contracts that ought to go out to bid. You ought to be inviting competition to come in and try to provide the best service with this taxpayer money that's being spent.
Well, you know, the $300,000 for a 65-year-old to reach out to other seniors, I could do that for
$100,000.
Right. I could do it for $150,000. So, see, you've already saved 50%. In fact, you know what?
Yeah.
If pushed, I could do it for $130,000.
There you go. Yeah. That was Richard Simmons that was doing that. I don't have anything against him personally, but when you're and he did it for free. I want to be completely up front. He was volunteering to try to communicate. But the message is not right. Why would you have a 65-year-old communicating with millennials on convincing them to sign up for health care? This doesn't make any sense. And we can do so much better. So I'm challenging Peter Lee again on I want to know why these contracts were let without any bid process. And we want answers, and I'm going to continue to fight this on all levels so that we have transparency.
How many people lost insurance coverage in California because of everything that was going on?
Yeah, thank you. That we started with the implementation of ACA, and you had 900,000 individuals who were forced out of their policies. These are individuals that took the care to find coverage. They were responsible citizens buying health insurance, and then the Affordable Care Act said that you had to get out now and go into the Affordable Care Act. But it's interesting because the president has said a number of things. First of all, he said if you like your coverage, you can keep it. And his feet were held to the fire, and he said, well, how about if we let you keep it another year? Well, that helps a little bit. It still doesn't solve the bigger problem. But in that particular case with these 900,000 individuals in California, Covered California took a vote, and they said no. We're not going to give you an extra year to stay on your old plan. We're going to force you into the Affordable Care Act plan now. And I've heard that up to 350,000 of those folks experienced rate increases, some of them very dramatic, like a doubling of rates coupled with a doubling of their deductible, a doubling of their copay. And it just is outrageous that we're forcing people into these plans that are costing more money. Why aren't they given? Why aren't individuals given the choice to determine whether they want to go into a more expensive, different plan? And
well, it's government control, isn't it, Senator? I mean, that's the bottom line. They want to take everything out of your hands and give it to the government.
Right. And it's Big Brother saying, we know better than you in terms of what your needs are for health care, and we're going to dictate what's in your policy and what your deductibles are and how much you're going to pay. And that is completely counter to what America represents as a free market economy where individuals have the freedom to make their choices.
Okay, our guest is Senator Ted Gaines. Are you able to stay with us for a few more minutes, Senator? You got to run.
Yes, and I'd love to talk to you about Prop 45 if I could.
Oh, yeah, we want to talk that and Prop 47.
Sure.
Is 47 is the one of the misdemeanors, right?
I believe.
Yes. I like to talk about that one too, and see what your take on that one is, because we're getting a lot of. And then the latest, of course, is the new definition of recidivism. But dueling recidivism definitions, one from the Attorney General, which is kind of cool, and one from the Board of Corrections, which is bad. So it's kind of like, you know, does anybody know what's going on there? And you know, frankly, Senator, you've been there a long time. Why don't you have these cats rounded up by this time?
Crazy. I know. It is crazy down there.
All right.
But we got to fight the fight.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, Senator Ted Gaines is our guest. We're going to talk about Prop 45 right after these messages.
Hi, this is Mike Quinn, candidate for the Reading City Council and a true fiscal conservative. I've owned a business in Reading for over 15 years, and prior to that was a corporate controller. My strengths are budgeting, financial reporting, and cost controls, and I do not believe in debt. The city of Reading needs to learn to live within the means of the citizens of Reading, and the city needs to get out of the way of businesses and to let them thrive. I would appreciate your vote this November the 4th or on your absentee ballot. Paid for by the committee to elect Mike Quinn, Reading City Council, 2014.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
At Cypress or Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100 plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Cypress or Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, DeKine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop, located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it has been an honor for me to serve on the Reading City Council these last 8 years. The future of Reading is bright. We still have many serious issues facing us as we move forward. Issues like pension reform, roads, water, and above all, the rising crime rate in the city of Reading. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
Currently 56 degrees in the downtown studios. Welcome back to our show. Chance of rain today with our highs of 66. Chance of showers tonight. Temperatures around 55. Our Saturday and Sunday look really great. We're going to be announcing in a little bit, you know, some special events that are going on this weekend you won't want to miss. Mostly sunny on Saturday and Sunday with temperatures around the mid-70s. The weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Okay, it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer, 365-3793. Give him a call. Our guest is Senator Ted Gaines. And, Senator, one of the propositions coming out, and there's a lot of discussion about this, is Proposition 47, reducing felonies to misdemeanors and the impact this will have. Somebody said this is like AB 109 on steroids.
Right. Yep, I'm in opposition to Prop 47, and I just think that we have enough challenges on our hands with AB 109, and look at how that has ravaged our communities in California, and it was not planned well by the state government in terms of its implementation. We don't have adequate jail space, and now we're going to add on top of that Prop 47, which is going to change felonies to misdemeanors. And
which means immediately releasing something. Somebody said something like 15,000 prisoners or something.
That's right.
Can do that.
That's right. And but we just don't need more havoc within the community. From my standpoint as an elected official, my number one priority is making sure that my constituents are safe. And that is just a kind of a common sense approach that anybody ought to be taking in an elected position, that you've got to make sure your citizens are safe. If they're not safe, how can we focus on job creation and on children getting a good education or any other aspect of our society? And yet we see what's happening is that it's being torn down, and then we as the citizens are suffering the consequences by unwise decisions, whether it's at the governor's level or passing through the legislature. And this makes no sense in my mind. I think the idea that you have a wobbler, which gives the judge the authority to determine whether something's a felony versus a misdemeanor, is good, and that we ought to retain that. Why wouldn't we let a judge make that decision? We don't know all the details of the particular case. We don't know. You know, they're talking about crimes that are under $950.
I know. We were just doing research, and all of them: shoplifting, where the value of property stolen does not exceed $950; grand theft, where the value of stolen property does not exceed $950. Whoever came up with these figures across the board, forgery, fraud, writing a bad check, use of most illegal drugs. The measure would require misdemeanor sentencing instead of felony for these following crimes. That's what everyone needs to look at. If you're voting for for or against, and our senator has just stated he is against moving forward on this bill.
The other thing too is that includes guns. If somebody comes in and steals guns, you know, that's worth it's worth less than $1,000, which a lot of guns are. Not really good functional pistols and rifles are under $1,000. That means somebody can come in and steal guns, and that's not a felony anymore. That's just a misdemeanor. They can come in and take your life away practically by the way they steal, and it's still a misdemeanor, which means you can't be put away. Not that we have room to put people away right now anyway, because we're up to our, you know.
Or rather, proposition. I should have said proposition. So, Senator Ted Gaines is our guest. Let's talk about 45, California Proposition 40, public notice required for insurance company rates initiative.
Thank you.
There we go.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I just want to reiterate this: what brought this on the ballot, and Carl illuminated this a little bit earlier, and I just want to focus on it a little bit more. The money that was raised to put this initiative on the ballot came from a group of attorneys called Consumer Watchdog and Harvey Rosenfeld. And what they've done is they've put this initiative on the ballot, and then they set up an intervener. And the intervener acts supposedly on behalf of the consumer. Well, the intervener is Consumer Watchdog. Consumer Watchdog wrote the initiative, just like they did for the rate regulation for property and casualty, Prop 103. It's the same group, and Jones is supporting this initiative on the ballot, but that correlation with attorneys giving Jones money is we have found that he's received $420,000 from attorneys since 2009. And the intervener gets paid fees by the Department of Insurance. So in the case of property and casualty, you've seen over $11 million going into the coffers of Consumer Watchdog and Harvey Rosenfeld, the authors of Prop 103. And you're seeing the same thing happen all over again in healthcare, and that so you're giving the insurance commissioner a lot of corrosive power, in my mind, and then you've got a nonprofit run by attorneys that are getting millions of dollars, and then you're seeing hundreds of thousands of dollars going into the campaign account of Dave Jones, and that stinks to me. It just doesn't make any sense, and what we need to be doing is figuring out how to empower the consumer and working in that area to drive down medical costs. We don't want to diminish the quality of care. We want to make sure that a doctor is compensated enough so he can actually spend time with the patient to make sure the patient is being treated in the right
way. Well, here's what's really strange. Going on the website, you see that the nurses union is for it, and the California Medical Association is against it. California Hospital Association, California Medical Association, Orthopedic Association, health plans, health underwriters are against this, against 45.
Yes, and I don't understand why the nurses are in favor of it.
It was the last word in there, the union. The last word in that was nurses union. And if you look at the people for it, you've got people like Feinstein and lawyers and all the unions and Democratic Party. This is why you'll see that, you know. Right. And then when you get to people that, where it comes down and it impacts on, they're saying, hey, wait a minute. This is not the way to do this. Our guest is Senator Ted Gaines, who is in the battle for state insurance commissioner. His background, that he's been insurance, at least he understands how to spell it, and he's not taking $400,000 from lawyers. At least you haven't been, have you?
No.
Okay, taking $400,000 from lawyers to get these ballots on, and the fact is also is that Covered California is handing out millions and millions of dollars in contracts that they're just giving them to their friends or people that they know, or maybe their daughter knows them. Who knows how they're doing this? But they're not being put out for public bid. So there's a whole lot of things going on here, and you wonder why healthcare is so expensive. Anyway, Senator, good luck on the election here.
On your campaign trail.
I appreciate it very much.
All right, Senator, all right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Take care.
Okay.
And if you want to go out to Google, you know, just Google Prop 45, and it's very informative. In fact, this morning I learned a lot just from that phone call. And I know that, like I said, we've got family members that are in the medical field, and I know that it was like, are you kidding, the nurses' unions? But anyway, we just have to,
talk to the doctors. Every doctor we've had on here, including the young ones, they come in, and what do they talk about? They talk about the fact that how can they get any young doctors into general practice anymore because of the cost and the fact they're not being paid. There's so many things happening and how your health care is suffering. And it started suffering when Obamacare started. And you may say, oh, no, it was bad before. Was it really? Was it really bad before? It wasn't. And now you've got people that were paying, had their insurance. Oh, and if you like your insurance, you can keep it. One of the biggest lies in history. And he knew it was a lie when he said it. You know, that's why you can say, well, it was just he didn't understand it. No, he knew it was a lie. He knew they weren't going to be able to do it. So you couldn't keep your health care. You've got others on there. But here's the bottom line. As our doctor said, if you can't see a doctor, then you don't have health care. No matter if you have that little thing that says insurance, because they're not paying the doctors. So why would the doctor see people for free? That's not the way it works. I mean, you want a spot on the radio here? Fine. Pay me. And we will put your ad out. We'll put your political ad out. Fine. That's the way it works. I'm not going to just do it for free. because you can't run a business like that. Anyway, when we come back, we've got our friends from Simpson University here, from the science, the nursing, students. We got the whole enchilada here with our Simpson University. We'll be right back. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Obama says it may be time to appoint an additional person to lead the Ebola response.
It may make sense for us to have one person, in part just so that after this initial surge of activity, we can have a more regular process.
And now, as SRN's Linda Kenyon reports, the president appears to have taken a big step forward in that process.
Several media are reporting the president is about to name Ron Klain as the nation's Ebola czar. Klain is the former chief of staff to two Democratic vice presidents, Vice President Joe Biden and former Vice President Al Gore. The move to appoint Klain comes a day after the president said it would make sense to have one point person on Ebola. The appointment of Klain follows growing criticism over how the administration has responded to the Ebola outbreak so far.
That's SRN's Linda Kenyon reporting. Also at SRNnews.com, there is now word that one of the personnel from a Dallas hospital that handled the Liberia Ebola patient is now on a Carnival cruise line. The cruise line says a Texas healthcare worker is now isolated, not deemed to be a risk to other passengers on board. Commander Danny Fallington is in charge of a British Royal Navy medical vessel. He says his ship has been sent to Sierra Leone now to support British military personnel who've said they feel sick.
Once we've isolated them, we won't treat them on board. We would land them to Sierra Leone to the treatment facilities at Kerrytown, and they are the ones who've trained specifically for treating Ebola victims.
Also at SRNnews.com, stocks taking a more positive direction on Wall Street in early trading. After the opening bell, following yesterday's 24-point loss, stocks up more than expected right now. The Dow up 238 points. That follows on some positive earnings reports from General Electric and Morgan Stanley. Each rose 3% in their value in early trading after reporting earnings that beat analysts' expectations. This is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
At Mathnasium Learning Centers, we make math make sense. Your child will leap ahead, whether they start out way behind or already ahead. It's how we've grown to more than 500 franchise locations. More at mathnasium.com or call for a free parent pack. 844-799-5999. Learn what Mathnasium can do for your child. 844-799-5999. Mathnasium. We make math make sense.
U.S. Senator Ted Cruz is alleging the city of Houston abused its power by subpoenaing sermons and other documents from pastors who had publicly opposed a local ordinance banning any kind of discrimination against homosexual and transgender residents.
Caesar has no jurisdiction over the pulpit.
The bottom line, Cruz said, is that the clergy simply don't need government officials' permission to preach.
You do not need to seek the permission of a king or queen or president
or mayor.
Cruz told congregants at his home church that Caesar has no such jurisdiction, according to the New Testament. Bermuda is already feeling winds of tropical storm strength and conditions expected to get quickly worse today as Hurricane Gonzalo approaches, carrying top winds of 130 miles an hour. The storm is expected to pass near or over Bermuda this afternoon or evening. This is SRN News. Advanced Micro Devices says it will cut 7% of its global workforce in an effort to improve its profitability.
The Sunnyvale, California-based chipmaker has experienced weaker revenue and profits for some time. The company anticipates the reductions and related real estate moves will save $85 million next year. AMD employed over 10,000 people as of the end of the third quarter. It plans to cut the jobs by the end of its fourth quarter.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting. Also at SRNews.com, updating our lead story at this hour, President Obama is, in fact, naming Ron Klain, a former chief of staff to Vice President Joe Biden and a trusted advisor at the Obama White House, as the point man now in the U.S. government's response to the Ebola crisis. The president's been under pressure to name an Ebola czar to oversee health security in the U.S. and actions to help stem the outbreak in West Africa. More details at SRNNews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Abad. Good morning, 8:05 in the morning on October the 17th, a Friday. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, hon. Aren't you glad it's Friday?
I am, TGIF. We got a lot of stuff happening this weekend, too, that we're involved with. We're going to share with you in just a moment. It's currently 55 degrees. If you're just tuning in, you flipped your radio on to 1460 AM. Let me tell you what the weekend's going to be like. We have 30% chance of rain in our forecast with our highs of 66. Chance of showers tonight with temperatures around 55. And this weekend, if you're out and about, which we hope you come and join us with a couple events we're going to be talking about, we have a mostly sunny day tomorrow on Saturday with temperatures around 75. Saturday night around 51. Sunday, 73. And Sunday night, we get down to 55 with chance of showers. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. What do we have going on this weekend, Carl? Got some announcements to make there.
Well, a lot of things here. We have the Shasta Speedway is rolling.
And you're going to be saying, you're going to be announcing, like, start your gentlemen, start your engines.
Well, except I can't say gentlemen, start your engines anymore.
What do you have to say,
people? I say drivers, start your engines,
okay.
Because the girls are out there.
That's cool.
And I'd like to announce as the first and probably last man show.
Drivers,
that's
good.
Will not be conducted right away.
The first what?
The first and probably only... It's good to be a man show.
Oh.
Well, has been put on hold.
the Man Cave Expo.
After last Friday when I was attacked by not just Linda, but Savannah. And then as I walked outside the door, some woman I didn't even know kicked me in the leg. Shasta Speedway.
Folks.
No, it's not. Shasta Speedway news and notes here is that they're having at the Shasta Speedway at the fairgrounds in Anderson this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. The gates are going to open at 4 p.m. Saturday with racing at 6 p.m., main events in all divisions. And Sunday, the gates open at 10 a.m. with racing at 1 p.m. Linda's going to start it off with the national anthem.
Of course, the national anthem.
And then what I'm going to do is driver start your engines, and we'll be there. The prices are just outstanding. If you're saying, oh, they used to be so expensive, now it costs $4.50 to get in there. Kids 7 to 11, $1. Seniors $2.50. Military free. 6 and under free.
We have some champions that are going to be there as well. Gentleman Jimmy Walker, he's been a crowd favorite for over 40 years. He suffered substantial injury several years ago in a heavy equipment accident, nearly ended his racing career. He's going to be back at the Shasta Speedway this weekend. He's in his mid-70s. He's still very impressive and still can handle the young guns of the sport with style.
Liberty on the Border. The grand opening of Liberty on the Border is tomorrow at Turtle Bay. As you know, KCNR has got we have not supported exhibits in the past. This has got nothing to do with elections or anything like this. This has to do with keeping Turtle Bay solvent in the sense that they can afford to keep bringing in these great exhibits. And this one is called Liberty on the Border. It's about the lead up to the Civil War itself, and the impact the Civil War has had on our country up into and including today. So, as you know, KCNR has put together an umbrella organization under our name that people can donate through. And we've had over 25 people already donating here. We want to raise $5,000 for the exhibit. to have this here. And so the grand opening is this weekend. Please try and get down to Turtle Bay on Saturday and Sunday to see this. It's hands-on type of stuff. They're going to have the reenactors are going to be there tomorrow. So they're going to have a Civil War camp set up. Out there by on Turtle Bay, it's a big thing. They're also honoring veterans during this time frame because this exhibit is going to go from October, the 11th is when it started the soft opening through January. So here's a good chance to see what makes our country. And if you want to help with this, and it's a tax-free donation, you come to us, drop off a check, just have it made out to Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Come here, we'll get your name, we'll put it on our website. You're going to have your name on the wall down at Turtle Bay for helping to bring this exhibit.
Help us to raise our pledge for Liberty on the Border. It's really, we're very excited about it.
So many people have, Congressman Lamoff, Judy Maxwell, Pugh Van Voorhis, the Fly Shop with Bertha and Mike Michalak. You know, I just can go on and on and on. And we talked about it yesterday, but there will be on our website so you can see it for, you know, people need to be noticed. People need to be, recognized for the fact they do want to support.
And a shout out to Dan from Tierra Oaks.
Right.
That was really cool.
Dan,
thank you.
Yeah, Dan is another one of the ones that put in for this or is helping to support this, as is Frank and Kathy Muse. I mean, there's just so many other hoogs. We're just going to go through the names in a later date. Anyway, okay, one of the things we like doing is we've got a university here in town called Simpson. And Simpson is growing, and they wanted to have more of an impact on our community here. And they are actively reaching out to be able to do that at all levels of our community, including veterans and seniors, our millennials, our young people, all this. And they are doing, I think, a great job in this. So today we're going to be talking a lot about Simpson, but the first people we're going to be talking to.
Good morning, Laura Rainsbury and Martha McCoy. And we're going to – did I say that correct? Good morning, Laura. First with you. Say hello.
Hello.
Okay, wait a minute. Are they turned on?
Good morning. Good morning. The green button means hello. Good morning. Let's start again. Laura Rainsbury.
Hello.
Good morning. And Martha McCoy.
Good morning, Linda. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
I'm happy to see you.
It's rare that we can catch Savannah, so we revel in it. You know, in fact, we'll keep this day. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to mark this day down.
So you are here, the first part of several other segments we're going to have on some different things that are going on with Simpson. But let's first start off with the craft fair and the trade bazaar. Okay, who gets to go first? How about our alumni?
Okay, I guess I will.
Getting close here.
I am a 2010 graduate from Simpson, and I have gotten to volunteer coordinate the Craft and Fair Trade Bazaar at Simpson University. It's happening November 15th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and we're really excited about this. We had to take a segment last year and not do it, and we're really excited to come back and support our community and our vendors that are trying to make a living and enjoy making products for other people and just have fun with
it. So what kind of vendors are you going to have out there?
A lot of homemade. It'll all be homemade stuff. So body soaps, hand soaps, knitted and quilted items. And then home decor items, repurposed things. There will be a man that's making a lot of metal decor that will be...
Oh.
Yeah.
So if you like sculptures around your house or,
yeah,
or things
and,
like that? Yeah.
One lady makes like lights out of aluminum cans that have
cool.
been...
Arty, crafty
yeah.
stuff.
So what she's done is she's what's the word I'm looking for? Reused it.
Yeah.
Repurposed. I like that. Now, a question I have is that, you know, we see bazaars and craft fairs, and I am a fan, by the way, of attending these events, but I have not seen ever a craft fair and trade bazaar. Can you share with our listeners what that means?
So, Simpson desires to reach the outskirts of the world through missions trips and all various sorts of ways. And we also have a heart for our community. So through that, our fair trade is something that has come along in the world. And the the purpose behind it is to allow other countries and people who aren't able to make a living, and they create and make an item to sell across the world. And so that money then goes back to them, and they are able to have a living through that.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you'll have like a segment where people can trade stuff. Like, how about if I give you this for that?
So actually, it'll be more like we have Heavenly Treasures. We've had them before. So they're a company that is already based in cultures throughout the world that they create items, hand-woven items, hand-carved items, and they sell them. We will also have some former alumni, Sarah Scapins, who's a missionary in Jordan, and she has Green Creations, and she works with a lot of the women over there, and they create products, and they're going to be selling items. They, of course, won't be there, but we'll have people.
Okay, we're talking about the Craft and Fair, Craft Fair and Trade Bazaar. It's going to be at Simpson University from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. November 15th. So you got a few, a few days out there. How do people get information from you?
They can go to simpsonu.edu/craftfair, and it's listed all on there. There's flyers all around town.
Are you going to leave some here?
Yeah.
Okay. And Martha McCoy?
Yeah, I was going to say Martha.
Hello, Martha.
You are in the room.
What do you do?
What's your your involvement?
I work in the advancement office. I'm the annual giving coordinator. So the proceeds from this event support WorldServe, our WorldServe program, our missions program, and student scholarships. Okay. So it's a wonderful way to support the vendors, and then the vendors do donate a part of their proceeds to our scholarship program.
Okay.
The event is free, though. And it's a great place to find Christmas gifts. We also have a lot of jewelry vendors.
Oh, that's super. Okay.
Yes.
It's going to be the Craft Fair and Trade Bazaar at Simpson University, November the 15th. And any questions here, just head down to Simpson website and go to the Craft Fair?
Yep, simpsonu.edu/craftfair.
There it is. All right.
All right, and coming up, we've got Larry Siemens, who's the chair of the science department and the assistant professor of chemistry, and Christy Stevens, who's the dean of the School of Nursing. So many people want to hear about that as well. And Caitlin Kreshru, who is a nursing student. So these are some wonderful guests we've got coming up, all under the Simpson University programs. And we'll be right back here on KCNR 1460.
My name is Mimi Mosley. Growing up, I learned I was responsible for the choices I made. Since moving to Reading, I've seen how my choices can truly make a difference as a small business owner and resident. I'm choosing to vote across party lines to make this important change to our city council. This change will be historic as it betters Reading. I believe Francie Sullivan loves Reading dearly and feels a calling to make the tough changes needed. Francie is always on duty as she encourages small business owners, listens to the concerns of her city, and pushes for a safe Reading. Francie's heart is to launch new jobs as well as bring safety back to our homes. Francie has faithfully managed Reading's resources and commits to continue this hard work. November 4th, the choice is yours, and you are responsible for that choice. I'm choosing to vote for two new city council members to help Francie achieve these goals as we live and work in this great city. My name is Mimi Mosley, and I choose Francie.
I'm Francie Sullivan. I want to make Reading the best place to live, work, and raise a family. Paid for by the committee to elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, candidate for Reading City Council. Our city faces many issues. For instance, we need to unravel the crime problem we're all experiencing. This is not something we created. The state has released thousands of felons onto the streets of communities like ours. Burglaries and assaults are up, there are not enough police, and the jail is full. Some people are saying, let's raise the sales tax. That's not necessary at this time. There are viable options to hire more police now, using money the city has in its coffers. Let's work with what we have before raising your taxes. Look, nobody has all the answers. I believe the people of Reading need a fresh, new voice on the City Council, someone who understands how to negotiate and is willing to work with the other council members to move this city forward in a positive direction.
Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto to Reading City Council 2014.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm here with Ted Leidy from Northern Firearms Instruction.
Join us on November 22nd and 23rd for a private CCW class to raise money for the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This class is private and limited seats are available. It's also tax deductible, and firearms and ammunition can be provided at no charge to complete the course.
Join us for this great two-day class by calling 530-999-1822 or visit Northern Firearms at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
Hey there, football fans. Nate Aberea here. This Friday night on KCNR, it's the one, the only, the River Bowl. The 6-1 Shasta Wolves host the 5-1 Enterprise Hornets at Thompson Field, with pregame starting at 7:05 and kickoff at 7:30. It's West versus East. On which side of the river does your allegiance lie? It's Shasta and Enterprise, the River Bowl, on Reading's radio home for high school football, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindebot. Good morning. It's Friday. Thank goodness. 8:21 in the morning. 55 degrees out there. It's going to be kind of a decent day. Nice weekend, though. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning. Today is Simpson Day, and Simpson University has really reached out to the community. They've got a committee that I'm a member of. Yeah, it's Simpson University of Reading, not at Reading, but you know, around Reading. It's of Reading, and one of the things that they're doing and reaching out to the community in so many different ways is people being out there working in the community, but getting their story out. This is what we're doing, because they've got some of the some just great projects going on down there. And today in this segment, we have, as I've lost mine, we have Larry Siemens, chair of the science department, is here. Christy Stevens, who's dean of the School of Nursing, which y'all just opened up the science and nursing building, right, which is huge out there. And, of course, Caitlin Krishru, who is a nursing student. We'll talk with Kristen here. Let's start off with Larry. Larry, you've got over 23 years of college science teaching experience, including 12 years teaching in Ethiopia, Lebanon, Cyprus, and Kenya.
Correct.
I know that this is not especially what you came on for, but that must have been a heck of an experience.
That was an experience, yes.
Yeah.
Very positive at times and scary at times.
I was going to say scary.
Cyprus.
When were you there? When were you there? Was it all like during one period of time, or did you keep going back? Or?
1974, we went to Ethiopia. 1976, we went to Lebanon, left Lebanon as refugees.
76, huh? Wow. Okay.
77. The university in Beirut was caught up in the fighting.
Right.
And we had to leave, drove to Syria.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends who was over there in Lebanon, in Marines,
yeah,
later on after you left. That's a tough area back there.
Right. It goes up and down.
Yeah.
We go through the history of the school, and the graduation's canceled due to political problems quite regularly.
Yeah. It's hard to have that graduation, when they march on, when there's mortar rounds dropping into the stadium there.
We taught classes in the bomb shelter quite often.
Do you feel like, and this is just a sidebar, would you feel that even though we're here to talk about other things, is that hard for you to, with your students today, to bring that experience and just try to share with them? I mean, that you had like life and death experiences, and you continue to teach, it's like it was, your life is on the line, and you're bringing forward this knowledge, this power of knowledge, and the power to teach, and the love for teaching. And is it hard to relate that to the students today?
It it is dangerous. The students catch on that I have Africa stories, and they know they can stop the lecture and get me sidelined very easily.
Just like we do.
Right.
That's right. A little sidebar here. Right. A little sidebar here, Larry.
Let's
Larry,
talk what about do you think?
Let's talk a little bit about Kenya now. Hey, you know, have you seen a lot of changes? I know you've been teaching a long time at the university level and all over the world. Have you seen a lot of changes in science and how we teach science? And I mean, and just in the, you know, in your field.
One area in science, just technology, and everybody experiences this. Technology has changed science drastically.
And this is in what ways? And besides the fact that slide rules. Let's just use slide rules. Remember that?
I still have slide rules.
I knew how to use a slide rule at one time.
I did my algebra with slide rules. But
if people were going, slide rules? Slide rules?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of them,
Savannah? We went to the moon with a slide rule.
Yeah.
And we were successful.
Went to the slide. You're
but
right.
When I took the chemistry that I'm teaching right now at Simpson, the analytical instrumentation that we use in class today was on the drawing boards as a theory in graduate physics courses. Now that instrumentation is standard. It's how we analyze the products that the students are producing in the lab.
Wow.
And that's how it's changed. And yet, if you look at the amount of time they give us to teach the subject, it's no more than we teach the same subjects in less time now than we did when my father took those classes. And yet we have so much more to teach. So the students feel it a little bit because we move.
You move
we
fast.
Have to.
Are students better prepared?
They have to have more at the elementary and high school level. They now, have to come in with a better background in order to keep up with the sciences at the university level.
Are the school systems preparing these students?
Some students come very prepared. Some students are not prepared like they should be. Part of that could be the education system. A lot of it has to be with individual choices. You know, what are students expecting when they go to school now? What does society teach them to expect?
You and I have talked about this, Linda, is that it gets down. I mean, but that was interesting that it comes down to individual choices. Is do I want to, you know, I can learn this. If it's offered is one thing, but what I'm hearing from other colleges, even junior colleges, is they used to have bonehead English and bonehead math. Now they have to have a precursor to bonehead English and bonehead math. You've got to take another course to get up to that level. And these are high school graduates. So I was just wondering, because I know Simpson has, you know, you all have high standards.
Yes.
And so when they come in there, they better be able to hit the ground running.
And our focus is bigger than a lot of schools. Society today, especially in Western societies here in America, we become more interested in ourselves and self-focused and limited in our vision for what we're going to do in the future. And so a lot of students coming in look for a salary, something that can apply to them. SIMPS's purpose is to focus on service, and our picture is big, service to the world, not just to my own little area.
Not to my little area there.
And so our science courses are oriented so a student can work in any part of the world and be a blessing to society.
All right. Hey, we've got to take a break here. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. For over 20 years, they've been providing excellent to outstanding service for heaters and air conditioners. And now it's getting ready to get cold. Has your heater been serviced? They can take care of any type of model or make of heating and cooling systems. Warranties and guarantees are available. If you've got an emergency, call Martin and Alliance Heating and Air. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service. They can do it all. 221-2642, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. If you're looking for a heating and air conditioning guy, ask Linda and or me about who's really good at this.
All right, we're going to take a break. Coming back, we've got, again, Larry Siemens. He's the chair of the science department and assistant professor of chemistry at Simpson University. Laura Rainsbury and Martha McCoy were here earlier talking about the craft fair. We've got Christy Stevens, who's the dean of School of Nursing, looking forward to that, as well as a nursing student, Caitlin Creshfield. We'll be right back. KCNR 1460.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city. None more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
At Cypress or Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Cypress or Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today. We look forward to serving you.
Drought, excessive regulations, Southern California trying to grab our water. We need strong leaders in office willing to take a stand. We need Doug LaMalfa. A fourth-generation family farmer, Doug LaMalfa is a common-sense conservative who represents our local values. Doug LaMalfa knows what's important, and he won't back down to the government regulators and big spenders in Washington. Doug is fighting for more water storage and less Washington red tape. He's working to stop wasteful spending, like the L.A. to San Francisco bullet train, and slash the debt that threatens future generations. And Doug is endorsed by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Deliver a strong message by sending the right person to Congress. Doug LaMalfa.
This is Doug LaMalfa. I'm fighting for more water storage, less debt, and to protect our way of life. I approve this message, and I'd be honored to represent you in Washington, D.C.
Paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
Trust, follow through, integrity. These are words voters are using to describe Assemblyman Brian Daly.
We need help in the state of California, and Brian Daly is the one to do it.
Our voice counts with Brian. Our votes count with Brian. He will represent us.
Because of Brian's leadership in the state assembly, he's received a 100% rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Brian helped pass legislation to support rural schools, and he worked hard to pass a bill that reduces wildfire hazard while putting people back to work in our forests. That's called leadership.
He will do what he says he's going to do.
He's a guy that you can trust every day. He's going to work hard. He's going to work relentlessly hard.
The choice is clear. Send a farmer, a leader with North State common sense values, back to Sacramento. Re-elect Brian Daly to the California Assembly.
I will vote for Brian Daly.
I'm voting for Brian Daly for Assembly.
Paid for by Daly for Assembly, 2014.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, Friday, the 17th of October, 605-4567 is our number, and it's 8:33 in the morning, 55 degrees out there. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Great haircuts, discounts for seniors, discounts for veterans, man's last stronghold. Yes, it's man's last stronghold, but our young nursing student, you can go in there if you want. Sit around, catch up on your National Geographic or your Car and Track.
Field and Stream.
You will not see any. You will not see any magazines that you shouldn't be seeing. It's just all, you know, guns and ammo and that and sports on the TV. And they don't do hair styling. They will do haircuts. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue.
All right, our guest this morning, Simpson University. This is the hour we love to bring on special guests. And boy, do we have some special guests this morning. We've got Larry Siemens, who's the chair of the science department, assistant professor of chemistry. Christy Stevens, we'll be talking with her in just a minute here, who is the dean of the School of Nursing, and Caitlin, one of the nursing students. So let's go back to Larry. Larry, can you talk with us and describe features of the new science and nursing building?
We are extremely blessed at Simpson with the new science and nursing building. And it gives us facilities that we have not had before. The biology program, our science program, is with a major in biology.
Wow.
Is 7 years old. and we were working in remodeled classrooms. Our laboratories were remodeled classrooms in buildings that were not designed for laboratories. And so we had problems. There were limitations. We didn't have enough electricity coming into the building to run all the instruments we wanted to in the
lab. At one time, so this side of the class had to sit there. And just, no, I'm just kidding.
But now we have a building that's designed for laboratories, it works.
It is. I've been fortunate enough to have a tour through that building. Linda, we need to get you out there too. What a great building, and it facilitates the science part, and then of course, and what you can do down there in the laboratories, but it's tied in so directly to the nursing school too, out there. But Larry, is this kind of like a little dream come true having a building like this?
Yes, especially for Pam Vanderwerf, who's the division chair. She's been there for 12 years, or she's been there longer than anyone else in the science program. Yeah. She hired all of us, and her dream for a building has been present on campus for a long, long time.
And I know
a lot of a misconception that the public has about the science and nursing building is that only science students and nursing students will use it. And that's not true. Every student on campus, every major, is required to take two science classes. One of them has to be a laboratory class. And so every student is served by that building.
I think one of the things about this is I think I've read some places that the number of people that are taking biology.
We have 50 biology majors.
That's a large percentage coming in like that. And this building is they do tours out there. Simpson will give you a tour. And if you want to go out there, you need to see this thing because it's two-story, $6.5 million facility, state-of-the-art labs. And as we were talking about that, as Linda's going to move into Christy Stevens as also part
our
of
our dean of the School of Nursing. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Your first year out
first
there, huh?
First year. I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself. A
little bit about myself. Well, actually, I've been at Simpson University for 2 years, and I've taught in the nursing program there for the past 2 years, and just recently was appointed dean for the School of Nursing with the retirement of Jan Dinkel, our former dean.
Well, congratulations to you. Right. And tell us a little bit what happens in the day of the dean of the nursing school. Oh, yeah. She's like, tell us about what it is like for you position at work.
You've got a lot of thousand things going on here about the accreditation that you all are working on, the types of different classes you have. I mean, and I actually want to get into the simulated mannequins because, frankly, those are scary. I feel like that little kid that says, that won all the money. You know, he's a stockbroker. He's looking in the crib. And he says, look, I even bought my own clown. Turns around, looks at the clown, says, it's a little scary. Okay.
Well, accreditation. Obviously, to be a school, we already have accreditation or we wouldn't be there. So we have WASC accreditation as a school. And what's different, a little bit different about the School of Nursing is that we fall under that WASC accreditation. And obviously, to be a School of Nursing, we have the Board of Registered Nursing approval, the BRN. We have approval to be a school and to accept students and do all of that. But what's really exciting is that we are reaching out for national nursing accreditation through the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education, so CCNE. So we're inviting national nursing accreditation to come to our program. And what that does is that gives us kind of that nursing seal, stamp of approval kind of thing, meaning that we meet certain accreditation standards and that we've built our curriculum using the essentials of baccalaureate education.
You know, one of the big things I saw when we were talking before is that it's also going to help nurses that want jobs in the military and at VA hospitals or VA clinics or VA homes, veterans homes. Yeah. With this type of accreditation, they can just move into it because knowing how hard it was for them to get nurses out at the veterans home, they're still searching, but part of it was the accreditation thing. And so what you're doing here when you receive this, I'm sure you will, is that they can just move into that then.
And then our graduate nurses can actually enter the military services at an officer
as
level.
As an officer, yeah.
Yeah, which is very exciting.
We always like seeing nurses.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Let's talk to one of the nursing student that's here today, Caitlin Crushrew. I was telling you earlier that I had a Crushrew second grade teacher, and it's funny I always remember the first through fifth, but after that I can't really know. But Mrs. Crushrew. So who knows? You may be related. We'll have to talk about that later. Where are you in your nursing classes?
I'm in my final two semesters. So last year. I'll graduate this April. So the nursing program in itself has five semesters, and I'm in number four.
And what do you plan on doing after this?
Oh, goodness, getting a job. I'm looking into new grad programs. That's like a good way of just transitioning from being a student into being a real nurse. There's a new grad program at Mercy that I am looking into. And there's also some hospitals back home that have new grad programs that I'll also be looking into. So,
well, my daughter just graduated from nursing school.
Feel good story here.
And but down in New Mexico.
In Albuquerque.
But she's under a two-year program, and yours is five semesters. So you give a different type of degree, I believe, than she got.
So we offer a bachelor's of science in nursing.
Right, hers would have been less than that. But I mean, she's a registered nurse.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but it was not with a bachelor's, but mm-hmm. she'd like to go back and do that. And
Simpson has a program for that.
Well,
you know,
I'd love to get him up.
Yeah.
We'd love to get him up here. Her husband, who's a U.S. Marshal down there, may have something to say about that.
Yeah.
And move from there, but.
Yeah.
And she loves nursing too, mm-hmm. and frankly, nursing you can move anywhere in the United States practically. And
she went right,
did a good job.
Went mm-hmm. right out of college, right out of her degree, right into a job, mm-hmm. and just recently was Employee of the Month.
Wow,
awesome!
And
wow.
They love her. She got a raise, like boom, right into it. She gets to call her own hours. I mean, it's been such a cake gig for her.
Mm.
But she is working in hospice, and I just think it takes because her father was a Marine, her husband was a Marine. She has a certain and worked in a before. Didn't she work in an ER?
She worked in ERs. My little girl with her arms all the way up to her elbows. job success. That's the big thing. We were just kind of talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Job success of Simpson University, nursing graduates. You've got a pretty good record there.
I think we do. I think our graduating class of 2014, many of them got jobs right away. And I think we're developing a good product because we have a rigorous program that's focused on quality and safety of the public. Because mm-hmm. one day these students will be taking care of us sometime. Hopefully not in the near future, but at some point in time in our life, we will all need access to health care. And so at the School of Nursing, we're very passionate about the quality of nurses that we put out.
Well, I hope so, because mm-hmm. I may look up someday, and there's Caitlin. You know, for Caitlin, about going into nursing, why did you go into nursing?
It kind of started with an experience. I had a younger cousin. I was about 9 when he was born, and he was born premature. So he was in the neonatal intensive care unit for about a month. So we were able to go and visit him, and just the experience of being with the nurses and interacting with them, kind of seeing what they did, kind of just like looked at my mom and was like, I want to be that one day. I want to be that nurse who can like do those cool things and help people. Or I didn't really know what it was all about, but it just got me excited. And my sister has always had a passion for nursing, so I kind of followed in her footsteps.
She's
also
a nurse.
She is, yes. She is a nurse, and yeah. So just since that young age, I've kind of had an interest in it. And then as I did more science courses in high school and obviously college, it's just so fascinating to me how the body works, how we can fix it, how we can care for one another and just love on each other through healing touch. And it's just such a fascinating field.
I feel better already.
Yeah, you know, and this is why
I feel warm.
This is a beautiful topic to talk about on Friday. Because as we go into the weekend and we've had all of this, you know, political smearing, blah, all stuff, you know, you know what I'm talking about. Just the political aspect of what's going on. We cover it here.
Ebola,
it's just so nice to be able to hear some positive, you know, love and attention and what it is to really take care of the human spirit.
Mm-hmm. We try to do that on Fridays, is come in with a little bit different shell. It doesn't mean if there's something breaking, we don't talk about it or we don't mention it. But more of a positive outlook about what's happening around here in our city and our region here. And in Simpson and the nursing program and Simpson and our education programs that they have out there and they're reaching out to the community, along with veterans programs that they're starting out there, is just it's not just a feel good, it's a good thing for our community. Going back to our,
I want to hear about the simulated mannequins. Okay, yeah. I can't get past that right now. I don't know what you're. See, you got to give me a visual. You know, I'm so visual. I just can't get it out of my head.
When you see one, you're looking at it like this, and then they start moving. Ah, and you would run out. So,
oh dear.
Anyway, tell us about this. I tell you what, not yet. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And as soon as we get back, you can talk about it. And,
you'll want to hear about the simulated mannequins, I'm sure.
But this portion of the show is brought to you by Wind River Casino. And Linda's singing out there on the first Thursday of every month through December. She's there with her group, Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, from 7 to 9. Every on that Thursday, they have a special evening, a romance on the river.
We'll be covering the American Songbook. And a lot of the great standards of yesteryear. We try to take that Elements Lounge and turn it into an old school lounge feel. You know, there's dancing, and they put the white tablecloths out, the candles, and turn the lights down, and we just have this great little jazz combo, and it's a lot of fun. So come on out. Make reservations at 243-3377. Ask for the Elements Lounge, Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, November 6th. Hope to see you there. It's a blast.
We'll be right back.
My name is Charlie Menor, retired Shasta County Superintendent of Schools. I'm honored to serve as chairman of Francie Sullivan's campaign for re-election to the Redding City Council. She is known for taking the time to carefully study issues and consider all the facts before making a decision. Francie is a fiscal conservative who has and is able to make the tough decisions that have helped the city of Redding weather these tough economic times. She is an avid supporter of Turtle Bay and understands its role as a major economic and cultural center for Redding in the North State. City of Redding is at a critical juncture in its ongoing development. Public safety, tough budget issues, and building a stronger job market are at the top of her agenda, and Francie understands the great energy and enthusiasm that exists in our city to address and move beyond these issues. Her vision is for a thriving and vibrant city for all citizens who wish to live and work. Is a vision I am choosing to vote for on November 4th. I hope you will join me. Thank you.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Hello, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Redding. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for City Council because I'm prepared to make Redding the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Redding, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Redding Peace Officers Association, Redding Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, candidate for Redding City Council. Our city faces many issues. For instance, we need to unravel the crime problem we're all experiencing. This is not something we created. The state has released thousands of felons onto the streets of communities like ours. Burglaries and assaults are up, there are not enough police, and the jail is full. Some people are saying, let's raise the sales tax. That's not necessary at this time. There are viable options to hire more police now using money the city has in its coffers. Let's work with what we have before raising your taxes. Look, nobody has all the answers. I believe the people of Redding need a fresh, new voice on the City Council, someone who understands how to negotiate and is willing to work with the other council members to move this city forward in a positive direction.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Michael DeQuisto to Redding City Council 2014.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. We have heroes here at KCNR. We have nurses here. Those are heroes. And I believe that, having been in the places I've been, and I know that that the places also that Larry Siemens has been, he's probably, nurses seem to be heroes out there. We're here with Simpson University, and we're talking with Larry Siemens, he's chair of the science department, and talking about all the things that are happening out there at the new science building, science and nursing building. And that, of course, then led to us discussing the School of Nursing with the dean of the School of Nursing, Christy Stevens, and one of the students here, Caitlin Kreshru, who gave a great reason for being a nurse. It was so good, I almost wanted to sign up myself, except I'm not really that warm a person. If you can't say things like, get up, that, you know, look, let's just put a tourniquet around that spot and let's keep going.
And how good are you using a ruler?
That's right. Well, a slide rule. No, yeah. At one time in my life, I could say I used a slide rule. And in that movie, Apollo 13, when they were having problems, they were trying to figure out what to do, and they were taking slide rules out and using them. I'm going, yes, yes. And other people were going, what's that? What's that? Okay, let's go back to our nursing.
Mannequins.
The mannequins. Okay, let's not get weird about it, but let's talk about your teaching mannequins.
Oh. Yes, we are very blessed to sit on the second floor with science as our base, which science is the base for any nursing program. So we couldn't do all that we do without our brothers and sisters who teach in our science courses, because they really help hold the bar and make our nursing students who enter the program top notch. And one of the other awesome things we have in the building, located on the second floor, are four simulation pods. So a simulation pod consists of one simulation room where the immersive simulation cases actually happen, a control room where we can control what our high-fidelity mannequins do, and then a debriefing room. So one simulation pod consists of three separate places. And what's really awesome about our mannequins is we have, in all of our simulation spaces, those mannequins are high fidelity. So they do lots of really cool things. We can make them bleed. We can make them urinate. They talk. So we can
Scream? Do they scream?
They scream.
They scream. I have seen these, by the way. I have seen them moving around.
Okay, what else do they do?
And the thing is, you don't want to walk in there. It's kind of a dark room. And you walk in, and then the shapes under the sheets start moving. You know?
Really?
Ah!
Okay,
you could do that, right?
All right, so let's go on. What else do they do?
So they can mimic physiological signs and symptoms. So they have blood pressures. We can do heart sounds, lung sounds, abdominal sounds, pulses, all of those great kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So what's really awesome is that we can take students and put them in an immersive case, which would be very similar to what they could possibly experience in the clinical setting. But in the clinical setting, we can't always guarantee that they're going to have a certain type of experience that matches up with their theoretical teaching as well.
You can't get people just to bleed on cue, right?
We can't. No. It would be great if we could, but people might not like that. So it's a way for us to kind of put our student nurses in really uncomfortable situations and see how they're going to perform, and hope that they get the skills to do that and develop the neural pathways, so when they encounter that in a real setting, that they'll know exactly what to do.
Now they've got blood there. They've got people screaming. They've got they've got somebody else yelling at them to do something. And you can start off easy, right, Caitlin? I mean, you can start, this is pretty cool, I can do this, and then it just starts, wait a minute, the heart rate just went up, okay, yep. Now I've got to do something. Oh, wait a minute, there's something going, they're bleeding over here, mm-hmm. I mean, your instructor can do anything they want.
And it's a good way for them to test how good we are on our feet and how our critical thinking skills have been developing. I mean, you can't just stand there and go, I don't know what to do in real life situation. You have to be able to use your resources.
What's the first thing you always do? And you come into an emergency like this, and you got a bloody person there. What's the first thing you do?
Bloody person? Check breathing, airway. See, talk to them.
Start
what's going on.
Start the breathing?
Well, if they're not breathing,
start the breathing.
Call go.
Stop the bleeding. Start the breathing. Hey. Breathing, stop the bleeding. That's what we always tell our guys. I mean, I don't know if that's that was a while ago. Maybe that's the wrong thing to do. You know, maybe give them a cookie. I'm not sure if that's the first thing.
I just make sure that their tongue is not up.
We always make sure that they were. Out. We always make sure that they were breathing. Mm-hmm. If we could get that, then the bleeding we could stop too. And but you know, this is really your program has got 165 students in it. Is that right? Something like that. Or no? Okay, I've got
the
wrong
numbers. How many do we have in your in the program?
Currently, we have about 65 students in our traditional undergrad program, and we have about a little over 20 in our RN to BSN track.
Okay, when I was reading, they said about 165 students in nursing, pre-nursing.
That's pre-nursing.
Pre-nursing. Mm-hmm. That's where I got that number from. So
en route too.
En route, too.
Okay. Now, let's go back to our nursing student, almost to be like RN. do you have a specialty? Do you know what kind of specialty you want to go into? I mean, because it, like prenatal,
yes,
or emergent, you know, what do you know?
Yes. I've always had a heart and passion to go into labor delivery or work in the NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit.
Which is what inspired you when you were 9.
Yes, exactly.
That's cool. You know, I think that, you know, you never know when something's going to touch your heart. Mm-hmm. That is, they put you on this track of, yeah, this is something I think a lot of people have that. And so you were very clear and with your intention all this time. So mm-hmm. you're very blessed in that. That
yes,
you can do
I am.
That.
Yeah.
And we love that Simpson has this incredible integrity. It's a school that I think anybody would be proud to be in alignment with. And I know we are here at KCNR. We love when you guys come on. You have so much. We've definitely got to talk with our chemistry teacher over here.
We've got about
Mr. Siemens.
We've got like 4 minutes left. Larry, just a minute or so. Just give us kind of like your last thoughts here about the science department, why people should, you know, why is this a good science department? I know you've got things that are literally internationally that you all are working on.
Well, it's our product that I think we want to show. Biology major is our first science major. We've only had a biology major for 7 years. So we only have a few graduating classes from the biology major. We've already produced teachers and researchers that are out in the field, some in the medical support areas in research. And we have a pharmacist, one of our graduates with a biology major from Simpson University, has his doctorate in pharmacy. We have medical doctors that have completed their program and are now out serving. We have those working in the environmental care areas from our alums that are already working in the field. Some are in graduate school continuing their work. Mm-hmm. But we're proud of those that have completed the program and gone on.
Well, I tell you what, science and technology, if the United States does not persevere to keep moving forward with this, then we are going to be buried in about 10 years. I mean, all of your graduates are going to go work some other country. Like people are coming to us now. If we don't keep it up and really start pushing on this and keep what we have going, the jobs are just going to go totally someplace else. We'll become a service industry and make bad movies. Christy, the last thoughts on the – I know, yeah, just let me throw that one to you. Okay, just got like a couple minutes left. Nursing program here has grown. It's going to continue to grow.
Absolutely. I certainly hope so. And I'm very honored to be a part of the community and have strong community partners who are really looking and seeking out some of our graduates. It's an honor and a blessing to be a part of that and get to watch students' journey through that transition from student to professional nurse.
Okay, we're going to have to come back and find out with the day of the dean. What happens in the life the day of the dean? And she looked at me and her eyes went, what do you mean? I just meant like really just the visual of what when you come into work, what faces you like when a doctor goes through a day of what happens. So we'll have to come back and have you come back and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to think about different ways too, is to expand what you've talked about with the mannequins, so people can see that. And we're just thinking in a different way on how to do that. But we want to thank so much today, Larry Siemens. And Larry, thanks so much because you've opened up an idea about what's happening there and on the quality of what's happening at Simpson in science and technology and the big changes over the last 10 or 12 years. And thank you for being in places that were just nasty.
You're welcome.
I mean,
it was a privilege.
I tell you, some of the bravest people we ever met when we went in, like into different places. I've been in Somalia. Was the ones that were there trying to help. They had no guns. They had no guards, and you know they were in the middle of firefights all the time. If we could do anything to protect them, we did. So thank you for that. And of course, Christy Stevens, Dean of the School of Nursing, and Caitlin Krishru, who is the nurse to be in soon. So thank you so much for being here. On Monday, we've got Frank Scrazzarino coming in.
Oh,
Chamber of Commerce. They're going to talk about why they picked who they did, and we're going to get right back into the horse
again.
For City Council and a couple other things.
How
and
about
the
measures?
And the
oh,
measures.
Boy.
So we're going to be flogging that horse. So remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Brand News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama is naming a former White House official as the administration's point man on Ebola.
Under pressure to name an Ebola czar to oversee health security, the president has tapped former Biden chief of staff Ron Klain to lead the Ebola response and actions to help stem the outbreak in West Africa. Klain is a lawyer who left government during the president's first term. He will report to National Security Advisor Susan Rice and to Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Advisor Lisa Monaco. Greg Clugston, SRN News, The White House.
The nation's top infectious disease expert on the condition of nurse, Nina Pham.
Her condition is fair, she is stable, and she is resting comfortably.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says Pham, who contracted Ebola after caring for a patient who died in Dallas, is now at NIH outside Washington.
She's very fatigued. This is a virus that really wreaks havoc on you. I mean, you could come in and be...